Chapter 17. He looked just as surprised to see her as she was to see him. "Bloody hell!" he spat at the same time Alvy cried, "You!" He moved forward. Alvy skittered back against the Imagidome, tangling up in her skirt in the process. "You! You thief!" She looked past him. There were trees. How far had they gone? They must have driven for an hour. Magician Azel put a knee up on the rim of the trailer and reached for Alvy's legs. She kicked at him, but he snatched her ankle and dragged her out of the trailer. In her flailing, her glasses slid to the very tip of her nose, and chunks of hair slipped free of Emma's handiwork and fell into her face. "Hold still!" Magician Azel grunted, wrestling with her. She peeked between locks of hair, trying to figure out where she was. A dirt road, trees. The automobile and trailer were parked outside some sort of old log house, a retreat home, an abandoned cabin, something far away from witnesses, that was certain. "Help!" she cried, and Magician Azel's hand slapped over her mouth. His other arm wrapped around her arms and across her chest, and he hauled her away from the road, kicking open a door on the side of the house and dragging her inside. "No one will hear you," he said with effort. He cursed again, hesitated, then pulled her around the corner and down a flight of stairs. Alvy grabbed the rail and screamed for help. In his efforts to loosen her grip, Magician Azel nearly fell down the stairwell. He took one hand off her to grab the rail himself. With an arm free, Alvy dove into her bag to find her plastic quick cuffs. When Magician Azel moved to grab her again, she dropped her weight and turned to bring his wrists together, then slapped the cuffs down on them. He growled and ripped them off with ease. Alvy watched as the only defense she had toppled to the stairs beneath her. Magician Azel grabbed her arm and yanked it behind her, sending a saw-like pain across her shoulder. She cried out, then screamed again. "Shut up!" he shouted. He threw his weight against her and shoved her into the wall. Her forehead hit the painted wood, and for a moment the stairwell spun. She fumbled for the rail and found only air. Magician Azel got her down the rest of the stairs and into a room that was empty, except for a simple desk and a white boxy set of shelves, scattered with a few pamphlets. Only one window let light into the place, and it was little more than a narrow slit peeking above ground. Magician Azel released her. Alvy tumbled to the floor, hair and skirt flying everywhere. Her forehead pounded. She flipped her hair back and pushed up her glasses, heart distending. "What are you doing? Fred! Fred's hurt, and you're the one who broke into the plimmery." Magician Azel scoffed. "Please, I seldom do dirty work." He frowned. "Seems I should have kept my hands clean a little longer. You are unexpected." He pushed his knuckles against his mouth, blocking the door, thinking as he stared at her. "Unexpected," she repeated. She looked out the window. It faced away from the road. At least she couldn't see the road or the trailer through it. What was expected, then? The theft of the trailer, but without an apprentice inside. And yet, how would he have known the vehicle would break down just then? Her blood ran cold, remembering the plastic something in the engine. "You did something to the automobile."
"You did something to the automobile,"
Magician Azel repeated in a childish, sing-songy voice.
"Of course I did something to the automobile, idiot. Just my luck that it took out your driver and Praff went for help. I didn't think you would be there. What kind of fool brings a fledgling apprentice to the Discovery Convention? Blast!"
He grabbed his thinning hair with his hands. She understood then. Magician Azel must have gotten into Magician Praff's garage last night, put something in the automobile to make it crash, a spell, something he could control, so the vehicle would crash away from city limits, or something that would activate after so many miles. That plastic thing in the engine, probably. Fred was incapacitated. Magician Praff was missing. No witnesses, except for her. And not only could she testify to his thievery, but he'd unknowingly abducted her as well. A twofold setback. A long jail sentence, for sure. Her hands rushed to her mouth. Goose flesh prickled her skin like the pricks of 1,000 cold needles. You killed Fred.
He was breathing when I hauled him out of the cab, he growled. None of this is your business.
His beady eyes darted around the room. He snarled and unbuckled his belt, then whipped it off. He came for Alvy. She backed up, not stopping until she had almost reached the wall. Help! She screamed, then tried to duck around him. His hand came out and seized her hair, yanking her back with the pop of her neck.
Hold still,
he muttered, wrestling with her. Alvy kicked and screamed, but Magician Azel was too strong for her to physically best. He scooted her toward the desk and looped the belt around her wrists, sitting on her to minimize her flailing. He secured the belt around the desk leg, tying her down. He jumped off her swiftly before Alvy could kick him.
I'll figure out what to do with you later, he smirked. I have a convention to attend.
It won't work, Alvy shouted, twisting and trying to get a better look at him, despite the awkward position of her arms. You can't take credit for Magician Praff's work. He already submitted the abstract. The polymaker barked a laugh.
What do you take me for? Praff never submitted an abstract.
Alvy stopped squirming. But he showed me the confirmation. Magician Azel rolled his eyes.
I intercepted it. I sent the confirmation. The convention doesn't even know Praff is coming. This time, he will understand what it feels like to be made a fool.
Her body grew heavy as she stared at him. If he got away with this... Magician Azel fished around in his pocket until he retrieved a pocket knife. Pulling out the knife, he walked toward Alvy.
Help! Help!
Idiot girl, no one will hear you. He steered clear of her legs and grabbed her bag, then slid the knife under the strap, cutting it. Bennett's mimic spell was in that bag, for one chance to get out of this mess.
Please, let me keep it, she squeaked. You read too many bad books. You imagine yourself the hero of the piece, no doubt. But do you really think I'm some overzealous villain ready to slip up so you can gain your freedom?
He snorted. He tossed the bag toward the door and pocketed the knife, then crouched by Alvy's side to check her skirt pockets. He pulled a few pounds from the left, a pen from the right. There was nothing in the apron. She squirmed under his clammy hands. He patted down her waistband, then checked her stockings for anything else. His hand rested on her knee for half a second, before dipping beneath her skirt and up her thigh. She twisted away from Magician Azel, the leather of the belt digging into her wrists, and kicked his shoulder. He cursed and jumped back, eyed her shoes, wrestled those off as well.
Like I said, he retreated to the door, his breathing heavy. I'll figure out what to do with you later.
He gathered her things and slammed the door shut. The sound of the lock clicking echoed through the vacant space.
Help! Alvy screamed. Help!
She heard another door shut upstairs. Curling her legs up, she turned and balanced on her knees as best she could, though the position cut off the blood supply to her hands. She jerked hard, gritting her teeth as the belt dug into her flesh. She moved the desk a centimeter. The desk might have been simple, but it was heavy, despite its two drawers being empty. She attacked the belt with her teeth, trying to loosen its knots. She heard a motor start outside. A tear ran down her cheek. She blinked it away and steeled herself. She needed to stay calm. She needed to get out of here. She focused on her breathing, keeping it even, pushing the excitement from it. She needed to focus. She couldn't be here when Magician Azel got back. She had to help Fred. She had to warn Magician Praff. She had to do something. She bit and pulled, jerking like a dog. The belt loosened a little, then stuck. Alvy turned on her hip to let blood seep back into her strangled fingers. She looked around, searching for anything to help her, but the room was truly empty. She squeezed her eyes shut for a moment, focusing on her breaths, forcing them to go long and deep. Then she rolled onto her side and tugged, tugged, tugged until her thumb threatened to break from the strain. So she rolled onto her other side, putting pressure on a different hand, and pulled. When that failed to work, she shoved her shoulder into the desk.
It hurt, a lot more than it should have. It took Alvy a moment to remember she was using the same shoulder she'd hurt in the near crash in the automobile. "You can do this," she told herself, blinking to keep her eyes dry. "You're a Breckenmacher, damn it!" She shoved the desk again, swallowing a whimper as the bruise on her shoulder deepened, then again digging her feet into the matted off-white carpet. They slipped. With some effort, Alvy swung around and brought her knees close enough to her throbbing fingers to unhook her stockings. She shimmied out of them, kicking and rubbing her legs together. Feet bare, she had a little more grip. She shoved, pushed, groaned. The desk tipped back, hitting the floor with a loud crash. Laughing, she tugged the knotted belt off the desk leg, loosening it enough to pull her hands free. She rubbed them together, flexing wrists and fingers. The cut on her right thumb bled from the struggle. She blew on it a moment, then dabbed it on her apron. She hurried to the door, turned the knob. It turned and stuck, of course. The door, and it looked like a well-built, heavy door, was held to its frame by some sort of chamber lock, or so she guessed, pressing her fingers against the keyhole. Turning around, she went to the window. It didn't open, and her head would never fit through it, let alone her chest and hips. She climbed atop the toppled desk and stood on the very corner of it, grabbing the window's sill to peek out. Her eyes were level with the ground, though overgrown grass obscured her view. Trees and grass, that was all she could see. If only she were a gaffer, maybe she could do something. Gaffer. Magic. Plastic, she whispered, jumping off the desk. She spun slowly, scanning the room twice. Plastic. Anything plastic. She saw nothing. She opened every drawer of the desk, finding only a nub of charcoal. She checked the shelves, hoping to feel something tingle under her fingertips, but there was only paper. A pamphlet on Rome, another with detailed instructions on how to use a telephone, a few scraps of paper without anything written on them. The shelves were wood, the desk was wood and metal, the window was glass. She checked Magician Azel's belt, leather and metal. She checked her pockets, empty. Dropping on her hands and knees, Alvy scoured the carpet, running her hands over its matted pile, searching for something lost in it. She found a staple, a bit of hardened food, nothing else. Even her blouse had no buttons on it, and her skirt fastened with a metal snap. She jumped on the desk again and pounded her fist against the window. "Help!" she cried. "Help!" After several minutes, she stopped. Magician Azel had been utterly confident that no one would hear her. She'd only gotten a glance at the exterior of the house, but she'd seen no other houses, no buildings, not even a shed. How far was his nearest neighbor? What were the chances of someone coming by here and close enough to hear her through this little window? She plopped down atop the desk, her stomach rumbling as if it, too, wanted to commiserate. A tear spilled over her eyelashes. She wiped it off, smearing her glasses. Her glasses. Her glasses! "Oh, Magician Praff, I could kiss you!" She pulled the spectacles off her face. The black frames instantly blurred in her hands. Everything blurred, but such was the ailment of Alvy Breckenmacher. She pushed her thumbs against the right lens, the tingling from the plastic filling her with hope. The lens came free with a satisfying pop. She put the glasses back on. It disoriented her, having one eye blind and one eye with sight, and her glasses tilted a little to the left with the uneven weight. Still, it was better than no lenses at all, better than no plastic. She stared at the half-blurred lens in her hand. Plastic. Excellent. Now what? Her mind ran through all the spells she knew. Image memory. Harden, soften. Melt, adhere, conform, encompass. Clarify, haze. Flex and unyielding. Compress, propel. Heed, pattern. How were any of those to help? She stared at the door, tilting her head so she saw it more with her corrected left eye than her blind right. What she needed was a key. Could she make one? She hurried to the lock and studied the keyhole. It was a narrow opening, and not one that could be looked through, either. If only Alvy were a smelter. Smelters could unlock anything made of a mixed metal, unless the lock was specifically enchanted to resist it, like the locks Magician Prath had installed on the Plimmery. Soften, she commanded the plastic. It softened in her hand, and she flattened the lens before saying, Harden. She stuck the plastic into the crevice between the door and the door jamb, but the bolt was true and couldn't be pushed away. Alvy's pulse quickened. Fear pricked the back of her neck. She had to do this. She had to succeed. There was no food or water in this room. If Magician Azel took his time returning, she might be dead before he figured out what to do with her. Maybe that's exactly what he intended, though murder would certainly be a poor thing to add to theft and abduction. She knelt, turning the ruined lens over in her hands. Think. Maybe she could break the glass in the window. It would make her cries for help louder, but it didn't solve the problem of the house's seclusion. Someone still had to be nearby for that to do her any good. She stared at the lock. The difference in her eyes made her forehead throb. Soften, she said, and she pulled the lens in half, hardening one half and setting it aside. The remaining portion she lengthened and narrowed, working it like clay. Harden, she said, and shoved the plastic into the lock. A key. She needed a key. She snatched a pamphlet off the bookshelf and held up the end of the plastic stick with it. If it didn't touch her hands, it might ignore her next command, but she didn't want to risk losing even a particle of her material. Touching her finger to the plastic at the locks, she said, Melt. She only wanted to shape the edges of the plastic, where the key's teeth would be. The tip of the stick melted, filling in the lock, and the other bit, more or less, kept its shape, thanks to the pamphlet. After a couple of seconds, Alvy said, Harden, and turned the stick. It didn't budge. Of course it didn't. It had just filled the entire contraption. What was she thinking? She let go of the plastic and paper and rubbed her head. She wasn't thinking. She was panicking. A quiet, dignified panic, so she thought, but panic all the same. Perhaps she should try breaking the window after all. She had evidence of being a very good screamer. So Alvy took the other half of the lens in hand, ordered it to harden until it couldn't harden any more, wrapped it in her fist, and banged it against the window until the glass cracked and broke. She beat away the remaining fragments, earning a few nicks in the process, and screamed until her throat threatened to bleed. No one answered her. She heard no vehicles or horses coming up the unseen road. She collapsed atop the desk, catching her breath, returned to the door and reached her fingers under it, hoping to find something, anything within reach. She touched only more matted carpet, so she reeled back and slammed her heels into the door, hoping she could break the lock, or maybe break through the wood itself. It didn't even dent, and her efforts bruised her bare feet. The sound of a motor wafted down to her. Alvy jumped to her feet and ran to the window, climbing atop the desk one more time. She strained to listen over her heavy breaths. Hello, she called, but no one answered. She gritted her teeth, listening for the sound of human life, but all was quiet. Her imagination was as desperate as she was. Sighing, Alvy hopped off the desk and sat again by the door, staring at that plastic-stuffed lock. Magician Praff would have returned to the road, only to discover the automobile and trailer gone. Had he come with help? Had he reached Fred in time? He would report the theft to the police. She couldn't help but wonder how long it would take Magician Azel to arrive at the convention with his ill-gotten goods. Even if Magician Praff hadn't seen Magician Azel steal his inventions, Magician Azel had them. The man could lie and fib all he wanted, but even if he'd figured out the spell that powered the prosthetic hand, he'd made a crucial mistake. He'd hired someone to steal the prototype from the Plimmery. The London police had seen the prostheses in Magician Praff's possession first. Had the man been driven so mad by competition that he'd failed to piece that together? Or did he have another plan? Something to do with feigned break-in at his own Plimmery? Could he accuse Praff of stealing his prostheses? She chewed on her lip. The police had seen the prostheses in the Praff Polymery, hadn't they? What if they had been stowed away? And for the sake of surprise, Magician Praff hadn't told the police just what the burglar had been after. A breath whooshed out of her. The mugging at the hospital. The crooks had been more interested in the boxes of supplies than money. Worthless, the man had said. Had he been looking for the prostheses? Was he one of Azel's lackeys? Please, I seldom do dirty work. Alvie gritted her teeth and pushed herself onto her knees. She grabbed the plastic and twisted it until the handle broke off. With a couple of spells, she melted it back into place. Ethel and Bennett were witnesses, of course. But perhaps Magician Azel had witnesses of his own. Fortunately, Alvie had kept all her notes and diagrams of the arm as well, though proving the date of their creation might be tricky. Perhaps Bennett would know a spell to reveal the age of writing on paper. She could only hope. Retract, she said, hoping to pull the plastic back. It stayed nestled in the lock. Soften. Retract. It didn't heed her. She hardened it again and pressed her lips together. Polymaking had all sorts of undiscovered spells. Could she find one to help her? Soften. Compress. The plastic shot forward and bounced back, seeping out of the lock on her end. She stopped it with a hardened command. The house creaked. She stiffened, holding her breath. Listened. Just the house, settling. But it brought a new possibility to mind. What if Magician Azel wasn't the only person with access to this place? What if one of his dirty workers did too? And what if this worker showed up while Alvie was still trapped in the basement? She thought of Magician Azel's hand running up her leg. What if? When she grasped the plastic stick this time, it was with trembling fingers. She had to get out. She had to get out now. Break. Open. Unlock. Twist. Soften. Break. Open. Unlock. Twist. Harden. Melt. Break. Open. Pull, please. She wiggled the stick forward and backward, side to side, broke it again, fixed it. Her fingers grew slick on the plastic. She pressed her bruised forehead against the door. Soften. Pick. Open. Release. Bolt. Unlock. Undo. Unlatch. The bolt was sucked into the plastic-filled chamber with a muffled click. Alvie released the stick. Stared. She touched the doorknob. Gripped it. Pulled. The door opened. She jumped to her feet, breathing quickly. But unlatch was a smelting command, wasn't it? She distinctly recalled Magician Praff saying it wasn't in the polymaking repertoire. Had he been wrong? Did it matter? Well, yes, it did, but not right at that moment. Grabbing her skirts in one hand, Alvie launched up the stairs. She'd get to the door, find the road Magician Azel had taken to get here, and a meaty hand clamped around her arm.
"I know you don't," said a short but wide man, his fingers squeezing until Alvie's skin bruised beneath them. Her throat constricted too tightly to let the scream in her belly pass through. He was huge everywhere but his legs, large head, wide chin, arms the width of barrels, and a chest like two Benz tires pressed together. Dark circles rimmed his eyes, and stubble speckled his cheeks. She had heard an engine turning off on the other side of the house. This man, this lackey arriving, the one who does dirty work. Alvie's body lost its strength at the thought. Her knees buckled, and her arms went slack. The lackey had not been expecting to hold up all 130 pounds of her with a single hand, and he jerked forward, nearly tumbling down the stairwell. He grabbed the rail to catch himself. His moment of weakness revitalized Alvie, and she found the energy to jerk her arm from his grip. But she couldn't go back downstairs. The only way out of the house was up the stairs. So she darted past her large assailant, sprinting up those last steps. If she could just make it to the door. He grabbed her calf. Alvie fell forward and hit her chin on the floor. Her jaw snapped shut on the impact, sending teeth into her tongue. The iron taste of blood filled her mouth, and she gagged, spitting it out. The lackey grabbed her leg with his other hand, reeling her in like she was a fish on the line. Alfie dug her nails into the crevices between floorboards, snapping one off in the process. Away. She had to get away. Before he... She kicked at him with her free foot, a blow that might have affected him had her foot been shod. Instead, the man simply grabbed her ankle and hauled her back. Each of his fingers left a bruise. Help! Alfie screamed, searching for anything within reach. A heavy object, something to hold on to, even a dust bunny would do. There was nothing save the other lens of her glasses. Being blind was better than whatever alternative this man had in store for her, surely. But if she failed, she'd never make it out of these hills. She'd be lost in their murky blur for the rest of her life. Suddenly, Alfie was weightless as the lackey threw her up into the air. She landed on one of his wide shoulders. Air rushed out of her like a crushed bagpipe. The lackey muttered something foul and trudged down the steps. Alfie clawed at his back, strained for the rail, saw her quick cuffs lying on the edge of a stair. The prototype might have been a failure, but it was still plastic. She scrambled, her toe finding the lackey's belt buckle. She pushed off it as hard as she could, propelling herself forward, just enough to upset the man's balance. They both tumbled down a few steps, he on his back, she on her belly. Lunging with her right hand outstretched, she snatched the edge of the curled cuffs. The lackey spat a foul name and spun around, grasping her by her waist. "I'm going to make you regret that." He hauled her up, and when he did so, Alfie kicked off the stairs. He pulled back too hard and crashed into the door jamb at the base of the stairs. His grip went slack for only a second, but a second was all Alfie needed. She jumped from his grip, freeing herself. He pushed to his feet and reached for her. When he did, Alfie grabbed his wrist and slammed it against the rail. With the quick cuffs in hand, she shouted, "Melt!" And the cuffs melted onto a blob of plastic, which Alfie slathered across the lackey's wrist and around the rail. "Harden," she said. "Harden, harden." The plastic obeyed, solidifying as hard as it would go. The lackey growled and pulled back, but the plastic held firm. He swiped at her with his muscled paw, but she danced back up the stairs out of his reach. She didn't know how long the plastic would hold, and she was hardly going to experiment with it. The urge to run propelled her forward. She leapt up the stairs, bolted around the corner, twisted the lock on the front door, and threw it open, all while the lackey yelled and cursed after her. Ignoring a sudden stitch in her side, she sprinted down the road, away from the hills, toward what she could only hope would be civilization.